Hello, world. Sorry. Hi, Happy.
You have
Hello,
one
world.
Job.
Welcome to the Geek Life. This is episode 237 for the week of October 13th. As usual, we record on Tuesday, so it's really October 14th. We have four of us today. Fess is with us.
Hey.
We have Melissa.
Hello.
The ever fabulous Mike.
Hello.
And myself, Paul. Yeah, kind of most of the gang. Rich is still off on a secret mission somewhere, probably doing ninja assassinations for the government.
I'm sure he is.
Yep. And I guess we'll just get into video and film.
Videos! We got some fun stuff this week. First of all, X-Men Days of Future Past is out. And that's a good movie. I liked it. It was good. Also, Edge of Tomorrow, the other good action film that came out this the middle of this year. That was pretty great, too. If you said, hey, that's Tom Cruise, I don't want to see it, you're wrong. It's actually a lot of fun. So
great.
You should, yeah, it really is. It's
that's a Earth post-apocalyptic sort of one?
It's like Groundhog Day, only better.
Oh, that one. Oh, okay, I'm confusing with the other one. Okay.
Yeah. And then there's Juan of the Dead. Not Shaun of the Dead, but Juan of the Dead, the zombie film that was made in Cuba.
Cool.
Which I saw 3 years ago or so at Fantastic Fest. It looks like it's finally out in Blu-ray and easily attainable now. It's very entertaining because it was made inside Cuba, which means there's kind of pro-communist message to it. They're not called zombies, they're called dissidents, which I find really amusing.
Well,
it's hilarious. It really is. I found it to be terribly amusing. It ain't perfect, but it's very interesting. Catalog titles. We have Steven Spielberg's Director's Collection, which is a massive block of Blu-rays, including Jaws, E.T., Jurassic Park, The Lost World, Duel, Sugarland Express, Always, and 1941.
Oh, yay.
I know, right?
Sorry, when you said Director's Collection, my first thought is we find out that Steven Spielberg has a freezer in his house filled with frozen dead directors that he's always liked a lot.
So. Oh, that'd be awesome. Wouldn't that be ironic if he had David Lynch in there?
Yeah. We bring him out every once in a while to make a film.
As
back.
Opposed to David Lynch having directors in his fridge.
Yeah.
I'd expect that.
In pieces.
Also on Blu-ray this week, we've got Married to the Mob, if you remember Married to the Mob, which is a lot of fun. Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, because, you know, it's October. Duck, You Sucker, which is a Sergio Leone movie, which I dearly love. Has James Coburn in it. And Rod Steiger is a Mexican. Billion Dollar Brain with Michael Caine and Carl Malden, if I remember right. But it's one of the Harry Palmer spy movies, which is a lot of fun.
Cool.
Also, the Bronson Triple Threat box, which includes Death Wish 2, 3, and 4. Well, it's because Death Wish 1 was made by a different company. And
I thought you were going to say, because Death Wish 1 was decent. We're not
It was.
The threat that we will show you Death Wish 2, 3, and 4?
2, 3, and 4 are not Death Wish 1. Death Wish 1 is actually pretty decent. 2, 3, and 4 are what happened to Death Wish when Canon Films got hold of it. By the way, Death Wish 3 is insane. It's insane. I just saw it on 35mm. It's insane. Also on Blu-ray, Raw Force, which is one of the most gloriously terrible movies I've ever seen. And The Island of Dr. Moreau, the one with Burt Lancaster and Michael York.
Okay.
Yeah. On Criterion this week, we've got My Darling Clementine, which is a wonderful Western, and I highly recommend it. And on Warner Archives, they're bringing out Yankee Doodle Dandy on Blu-ray.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. I had to sing that in choir in elementary school.
For those who want to watch it, Only Lovers Left Alive is out on DVD in the library.
That's a good one, too. That's a good one.
Swinton.
Title of the week, The Nose Picker.
Okay. It's like American Pickers, but different, right?
Yeah, it's different. It's a horror film.
Oh, I thought it was about the gold rush.
No, I wish. That would be interesting, too. This is the byline on the box. He chose his weapons. He selected his victims. He picked his nose.
Okay.
Comedy, right?
I don't think so. I think it's a slasher movie.
So you have to play it with Bobo 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 afterwards. So.
I got nothing after that.
Nothing.
Yeah. Got nothing.
All right.
So, comics. Moving on.
Comics?
Do we have comics?
Actually, you know what?
I'm going to interrupt. You got a thing? You got a thing?
Because I've got this, and I'm at least dying to get rid of it.
Okay, what is it for the audio listeners?
Yes, for the audio listeners, I found this at Walgreens.
It's tied into another story.
The MAD, that would be Mothers Against Drunk Driving, has a line of virgin alcoholic drinks. So they have like three different kinds of wine that I saw there. And they also have this virgin craft brewed lager. It actually says craft brewed on it. Alcohol free. there's a little thing here on the can. MAD Virgin Craft Brewed Lager was created at Niagara College's Teaching Brewery. This handcrafted recipe delivers best-in-class flavor with zero alcohol.
Cool.
So students made it.
Yeah.
Can be done.
I can say it's not Reinheitsgebot. Just because the ingredients are water, malted barley, hops, modified tapioca starch, and Irish moss.
Moss? Moss?
Irish moss.
Irish moss. It's moss. a clearing agent.
Yeah, it's okay. A clearing agent. This is the fun part, though. Yeah, water, malted barley, barley, hops, modified tapioca starch, Irish moss. Contains wheat. It's not one of the ingredients listed, but it contains wheat. I'm guessing the tapioca starch.
Actually, that might be a cross-contact allergen.
That too, because technically the barley is also gluten, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, okay.
So I'll figure out the Heitzgebot again, otherwise I'll go off on a tear on that. So.
Well, just there's no yeast. That's why it doesn't qualify.
Nothing qualifies. Nothing ever qualified. The Germans didn't qualify. Anyhow.
Okay, so here we go.
The 70s. It smells. That's good, right?
It has an odor. Okay.
Yeah, it has an odor.
It's possibly organic. Almost. Okay, good, good, good.
He hasn't fallen over.
I haven't fallen over.
Second swig.
This is great radio, guys.
I'm trying to. It tastes like breakfast cereal. I'm just trying to.
Okay.
Mike, what's the number three ingredient in
breakfast cereal?
In the breakfast cereal now. Begins with a G, not granola, but the
grape nuts.
Grape nuts. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's not that. It's more. It actually kind of tastes like wheat chex.
Wheat chex?
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Grape nuts number three is malted. Is malt basically?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wheat chex. It's liquid wheat chex.
Yeah. It. Yeah.
With all the wheat chex flavor with none of the fiber.
And almost none of the carbonation.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it's like flat.
Well, there is carbonation in there. It's just not. Like up front.
Okay. You should pour it in a glass so the TV audience could see.
Oh, I can. I have a glass here.
Curious. How pale is it?
It's pretty damn pale.
Wow.
That's
very pale. Ooh,
that's
having, there we go.
Having fun in a canoe.
That's urine colored.
Well,
maybe a little less green than. Maybe I'm eating the wrong thing.
No, you're seeing right through it to his shirt that's green.
Yeah, I think you are.
So it's like making love in a canoe is what you're saying.
I suppose.
It's fucking close to water, yes.
I can read the screen just fine when I'm from about, I don't know, half a foot away. It's...
I'll stick with this lovely Unchained by Summit. Yeah.
I'd say I don't hate it, but that would be lying.
So how does it compare to bacon beer?
What was that?
How does it compare to bacon beer?
In which phase? The nasty phase, or the few months that it was actually good before turning nasty again?
Oh, I didn't know there. I probably didn't wait for the few months. I didn't know there was a few months.
It started out really nasty tasting. Yeah. Then got good. Then got good, and people liked it. And then about 6-8 months later, it turned completely nasty again.
Okay, because my initial, I had a nasty phase because my review was less vile with food.
Yeah, so I have a backup, which was my money here, because I gotta get the taste out of my mouth. That was okay.
So it's a perfect accompaniment to durian, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well.
Comics.
Comics Fest.
Do we have a new beer section now? Should we add that?
We could.
Yeah, let's do it. Beer section.
All right, then we're three for three where I... Well, no, I wouldn't be three.
Brewed?
I'd be two for three for podcasts where I have to drink during.
Oh, that's so hard.
I know.
I have to bottle this weekend.
What are you bottling?
Farmhouse Randomness number 2.
Well,
it's a partial mash, several pounds of Belgian pale, along with aromatic and some debittered black. The Maris Otter liquid malt, Challenger hops, another hops in there that I've written down somewhere, and it's probably going to come out to be about 9% ABV. Cool. So it's been aging in a secondary for the last several weeks.
Cool.
All right. I'm just going to ask that you guys then enter what you just talked about as far as beer on the show notes so everyone can find it.
We'll talk.
Meanwhile, I am currently drinking Clown Shoes Clementine White Ale.
Mm. Oh, that's from the liquor store that was going out of business. We just grabbed a bunch of beer.
Yeah, we just grabbed everything that we could buy.
At one point, aside from like one thing of water... The mm-hmm. entire bottom shelf of the fridge was beer.
Yep.
Mike, out near you, recently, as in it's going to be west of you, I got to look up the exact location, but it's on your side of the world, Four Firkins has opened up a second store.
Nice.
So, and I don't know if it's larger than their first store that's over on the way west side of town, but they just had their grand opening last weekend.
Cool.
Four Firkins is pretty awesome for people who are not in the area.
Yeah, they're one of the first shops to do the make your own six pack, and they try to get unusual and different products as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So usually their stock will go away if it's really popular. They won't be able to hold on to it because they don't have a lot of room for stock. But you can find a variety of interesting beers if you just want to go in and try different stuff. Also, cool. Some good ciders.
All right, choose the... is everyone done with beer?
Comics.
You drink. Right. We drink, you talk.
She's the sweetheart of the Great Lakes Avengers. She is the unbeatable Squirrel Girl. That's right, for people that don't know, Squirrel Girl is the badassiest superhero in the Marvel Universe, and she's finally getting her own ongoing series from Marvel called Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, and I checked, and it sounds like it's supposed to come out this January.
Okay.
And it is being head up by, let's see, where was it? Ryan North, and Ryan North, who's written... He does dinosaur comics from the webcomics world, but has also written for the Adventure Time comic book. And so he's back with Unbeatable Squirrel Girl with artist Erica Henderson. And let's see. I don't know as much about Squirrel Girl as Melissa has told me about her. And I've basically heard that as far as if you wanted to rank superheroes in as far as strength and capability, and villains, I suppose, I think she tops out in all categories.
Yeah, there are scenes where she beats the shit out of Wolverine. I mean, although Squirrel Girl versus Galactus, I don't know how that would go.
Well, there's an image link from Popwatch on Entertainment Weekly. There's a great pinup art of Squirrel Girl standing in a mass of She's standing perfectly on top of Thanos, who's knocked out, as well as all these other villains and such, as well as Galactus in the background, just sort of knocked out.
Who will she date, Rocket Raccoon? Oh, wait.
I think she's mostly just a furry in that sense. The ears are fake. I don't know if the tail is real. I think it's just a moniker.
Okay,
I don't think she's actually part animal, which that would be bestiality at that point, because raccoon is a raccoon.
Right, because at some point, Great Lakes Avengers switched over to being a mutant group, I thought. So.
Oh, maybe.
And then declared, no, we're really all mutants. So. Don't know.
So I'm going to be picking this up as soon as it drops, because it looks like fun. And I do love Ryan North's writing. And here we go. And let's see here. And that's pretty much all I had for comics. I have been pretty busy this past week. Comic of the week. I'm going to pick... Ogloff from Ogloff.com. I'm sure I've mentioned it before, but it's not officially been a pick of the week. Not safe for work at all, but freaking hilarious. If you like tits, you'll love this comic.
A6.
So, not safe for work, absolutely, and it's usually a collection of... pages of gags, very sexually related gags that just, they poke fun at a lot of things. Like the latest comic that's up today, it's some explorers have come across this island at which everything has tits on it. The trees, the seals, the rocks, and there's these merfolk, and even the males have tits. And they're being questioned about it. It's like, yeah, what's going on here? And then they end up... It's like that sort of ridiculousness, and that's it. Just two pages, that's it.
Boat.
And they'll go to the next one. They're all in the same universe, more or less, but they rarely connect. The earlier stuff has a little bit more storyline into it, but...
Somewhere gave up the storyline, I think, as just being too much work.
So. I don't know. It's fantastic. Check out Ogloff.com if you're over the age of 18.
Yes.
Disclaimer.
Rated M for mature for a reason.
Tech!
Tech, let the mobile payment wars start. How to start this one? So basically, to explain, 2 years ago, several companies got together and created the Merchant Customer Exchange, or MCX for short. And the idea behind this was to finally come up with one method of doing mobile payments across this consortium. This consortium includes Best Buy, Walmart, Target, and a couple other retailers. And people were...
Is that that chip that's in some of the smartphones?
No, this is different.
Okay.
This is why the war is going to start. This is an organization of these retailers over here somewhere to my left. You're right. And they basically have finally come up with an app after 2 years. People weren't sure if they're going to get anywhere because it's standard. It's a large consortium of retailers who generally compete. Therefore, how could they ever come up with anything? But they finally have an app out called, and you can find it on iOS and Google Play Store, called ConnectC. And it's running in beta right now. You need an invite, or you have to be an employee of one of these companies where they're actively doing the beta with their employees. And in select areas. So like in the Twin Cities, Target. If you're Best Buy, probably too. If you're where Walmart is, then Walmart. That sort of thing. But what ConnectC does is you can associate your credit cards with it. If you have some sort of coupon system that some retailers run that you have 5% off on this today, it will hook into that to automatically do the discount. You go to your store, let's say Best Buy, you want to buy a giant TV, whip out your phone, type in your password or scan your thumbprint if it's an Apple phone. Up will pop a barcode, they'll scan the barcode, and the transaction goes through. Basically, the idea being is it's a token-based thing, so no credit card information will actually go through. That's all has been pre-recorded on the back end, and so it never gets transmitted. So the point-of-sale system doesn't store it, and it never, the bank just authorizes the payment based on this token is correct. So that's their system. So that's coming out now this year. It's been in beta for part of 2014. The theories are going to release in early 2015. So that's ConnectC and MCX. Now, here's where the battle starts. On Thursday, Apple is going to be announcing lots of things. One of the things they expect to announce is Apple Pay, which is what you were alluding to, Fess. If you have an iPhone 6, it has a chip in it. The chip stores your personal data. And therefore, with Apple Pay, you go to retailers like Walgreens and X number 100 of others that Apple has signed on. Oddly enough, they haven't signed on Best Buy, Target, or Walmart for some reason.
Funny.
Yeah, it just happens. And then again, the same thing happens. A token is generated, and it goes off, except with the Apple Pay system on your iPhone, again, iPhone specific, it is Apple, it will use near-field communication. So instead of having a barcode come up, you basically swipe in your password or put your thumbprint on there, swipe it by a reader, and it'll just read it via near-field communication, so it's a wireless thing. The question is who's going to win? 2015, hopefully, but 2015, there's a mandate that we have to have chip-based credit cards starting. So this is an attempt by retailers on both sides to get around that. Okay, if you use your phone and the credit card companies just do the tokens, we don't need to actually issue these more expensive credit cards. But there's kind of debates. Will Best Buy honor Apple Pay? Or there's some people saying, no, they're going to turn off all their near-field communications on their little sales systems, and you're going to have to either use ConnectC or pay the traditional way.
Yeah, because Best Buy totally doesn't need money any way it can get it. Right.
Right. Well, that's a theory. We don't know if that sort of fight's going to happen, because now we have two competing standards, essentially. I don't know how far Apple Pay is going to get, since it's Apple-specific. The chance of them opening up to Google is pretty thin. On the other hand, this also throws up in the air of what finally happens to Google Wallet.
Mm-hmm.
This is Google's attempt. Now, does Google then kind of get on with Apple to some extent and do something similar and, you know, pair up that way? Or
they already got something in place. They just, you know, it's everything's in constant beta, so it's right. Not really, it's there. It's ready to go.
But they have all the signed-off paperwork is the problem. See, Apple's going and getting the retailers signed off. They're going to upgrade their point-of-sale systems. These other retailers are upgrading their point-of-sale systems to utilize this their technology.
Mm-hmm. Well, PayPal's already involved with this, too. I've seen those. I've seen registers that have a PayPal option, like, right yep. there.
Yeah, Home Depot does PayPal.
Yeah.
So, But again, this is also the part of the initiative of having more secure credit transactions, so we can't have all these numbers stolen from point-of-sale systems.
Right.
I have a hard time calling them by their short letter name, which is POS, because if POS go by, I don't think point-of-sale for some reason.
No, that's true. Also, I wanted to jump up. You kept on saying ConnectC. It says CurrentC.
Oh, CurrentC. Sorry. You're right.
Get it? Get it?
Yeah, CurrentC.
Ah.
CurrentC.
Yeah.
I get it.
So basically, if Apple does announce on Thursday, the battles are going to start, and you'll probably see them heat up, I would guess, in 2015 as to which retailers will decide to take what and who will decide not to take what and all that sort of fun. It'll be interesting. There is a chance that it will be the consumers winning, because the idea of having some sort of system, the reward system and the coupon system hook automatically into this so it all gets processed automatically is kind of nice. But that also means they get to track a ton of data about you, which is also kind of a nice little side effect.
It's the mark of the beast.
But yeah. So, any other opinions? I mean, that's kind of the short of it, and I find it fascinating because it's just, you know, use of tech in every day. That's like, how will consumers take this? Will they want to swipe their phone optically? Well, you know.
Well, I'm all for anything that gets us away from the traditional American credit cards with just the magnetic swipe. I mean, we need to move ahead from that technology. I don't know if this is quite the answer. I welcome all the forums until we settle into something that everybody agrees on.
And, of course, this won't be going to Europe.
Okay. Of course not.
Well, because they kind of already have the mandated chips in credit cards and don't need it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
They already swipe a credit card past a wireless reader. So that is the mobile payment wars. They will come next year, probably along with the fast food wars, and everybody will die horribly and robots will take over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about right.
people are so agreeable. this is also going to be things will be announced this week.
Mm-hmm.
Things. Announcements. There is some expectation that Google might try to spoil the Apple event by announcing tomorrow their new stuff, but nobody knows that for sure. We don't know when it'll get announced, but theoretically it's supposed to be in October. Google is expected to announce the new Nexus 6 phone. I don't know who's making that. I'd have to look it up. The new Nexus 9 tablet. And all of it will be 64-bit architecture and running Android L, whatever the L stands for. I'm guessing love. this is the big upgrade to Android for those who are in the Android ecosystem, which means your carrier will not download it to you because you suck.
Hmm. Yeah.
But that's the only thing I don't like about Android.
So L might mean lamentation then at some
point? Yeah, lamentations, beating of breasts. The weeping and the wailing.
Languishing.
Yeah. That's one thing I feel bad on the Android side. I'm definitely on the Apple ecosystem, but is I hate the fact that the carriers can hold up your upgrade. You know, if you have a decent enough piece of hardware, you should just be able to upgrade it without having to, like, hack the phone somehow. So, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the new reference hardware looks like and what neat specs it'll have and what things they'll be able to point to and say, look, Apple, you're so far behind.
Oh yeah, the fans will do that just in general. Just be
oh yeah.
Well, I just remember after the iPhone 6 and stuff was talked about, and they did the announcement on that, and yeah, this is gonna do that. You could just see all the in the responses, all the Android fans just going, welcome to 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm much.
And yet here I am with an iPhone 6.
I had to get my iPhone 5 replaced.
Oh, no!
My iPhone 5S.
Yeah.
Did something interesting about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, dear.
Are you sitting down, Mike?
Yeah.
It blue screened.
Dude! How did you manage it? Oh, whoa.
This is actually the only issue with some 5S's. The logic board caps at some point. It's random. Wow. It's a known issue. But yeah. I watched it the first time I saw it happen. Like, what the fuck? I'm having flashbacks to the late 90s. My 95 phone.
My 4S was doing fine until I dropped it into a sink of water. And then it was fine, except the camera didn't work.
Yeah, no, this is a known logic board issue that happens to 5S's occasionally. They'll blue screen. They'll constantly reboot. And I went into the Apple store. They said, let's wipe it. And if it happens tomorrow morning, come back in. It happened the next morning. It keeps an internal log so they know I'm not lying. And they said, okay, here's your new 5S. You're under warranty.
That is one of the reasons why I keep buying Apple.
But while the nice guy was playing with my phone, I was fondling the 6 and the 6 begin.
Yeah, the 6, I will say, I've had this thing less than a week now. The 6, I really, really like. I was concerned about the size of it.
Yep.
This is the 6, not the 6 Plus. I know. Well, I wouldn't sit on any of the bigger phones anyway. They've done stress tests on them, and they're all about comparable. I mean, but anyway, I can still use the 6 one-handed. Then again, I've got big old piano fingers, but, you know, that I really like the bigger screen, and it's pretty sexy, really.
And finally, I like the 6, and if you have a decent size hand, you can still do it. 6 Plus, or whatever it's called, just slightly too large to one hand. It is really a two-hand phone, but that's where it's kind of I took it as if you're not sure if you want the iPad mini, but you want something larger for a screen for watching stuff, you know, it's a nice phone for that, but it's really kind of that in-between, you know, reader. You want to do some more content downing, as it were.
Yeah, there's like those weird, crazy large phones. It's like, well, it's because somebody doesn't want to get a phone and a tablet.
Yeah.
But no, like it's
the Samsung ones, yeah.
The iPhone 6 is about the same size as a Nexus 4 that I have.
Yep.
The only thing is, it's just a little bit taller and a little bit thinner. So it's about the same area.
Yep.
And I played around with a 6 Plus when I was down in Austin because Harry Knowles had the 6 Plus, and that thing is about like holding a Pop-Tart.
Yep.
That's about the width of it.
Not as tasty.
It's taller. Definitely not as tasty. But, yeah, that would be a little bit too large for me. But I really like the size of the 6, I got to admit. Yep. I like it a lot. And I like the thumbprint to get in thing rather than the passcode. I like that a lot.
I'm working with the 5S a lot, too. That's just...
Yeah,
I'm so automatic that you don't. When you turn, when you like, when mine was breaking, I had to reset and it didn't work right away. I'm like, I'm not working.
I don't mind the code, using the code on my 5S, but then again, I've got an OtterBox for it, and I also have a 12-year-old who likes to use it once in a while, so can't really put her thumbprint in there. So,
oh no, the code's fine. I mean, it's just It's just once you get used to it, it's one of those, and you go back, it's like, oh, I'm so spoiled. I have such a first world problem today.
I really hope I remember what my code is.
I do too, because I went to the longer password now that I can do that with the fingerprint. So, otherwise, Apple announcement Thursday. You know, it's the second event that they always do, so this will be probably updates to the iPad. Mac updates, they sent out an invite with the phrase, it's been a long time. So people are interpreting that any which way.
They're bringing back the Newton?
To go off on a rat hole. Scoble on Facebook post, I think it was Scoble on Facebook post, said somebody walked into an Apple store with their Newton, and they tagged the photo, sorry, sir, it's out of warranty. They were just visiting the store and they had their Newton with them. They weren't even trying to bug it, but they took some pictures with it there.
That's amazing.
Can you help me?
Wish I could, but no, sorry.
Newtons were kind of ahead of their time.
Yes, they were. They were wonderful devices. So yeah, Mac updates, OS 10 next version, Yosemite should come out on Thursday, and as we said, there's rumor that Apple Pay will come out. So what the long time means, we know two products haven't been updated in a while, Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
So that could finally see an update, we don't know.
Maybe.
And the one that everybody's clamoring for, not everyone, but people who have specific need for this, the Mac Mini is the second longest product without an update.
Wait a second, isn't the longest one is the iPod Classic, isn't it?
That's dead. That's not on the store anymore.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
We talked about that last month, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe I was out of town for that one.
At the iPhone event, the prior event is when that disappeared from the store, so you'd have to go to a Target or Best Buy and see if they still have them in stock and grab one that way.
See, they need They need a super high capacity iPod.
Yep. Well, I mean.
So now if mine dies, I'm going to be screwed.
Yeah, I have an 80 gig. Well, that's why I'm looking at in 2 years when I need to replace my phone, I'm now looking at probably having to buy the 128 gigs so I can put my music on that. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the way it's going. Sorry. So yeah, it's been a long time. It could be the Mac Mini because there's people who use that for render farms or because they're just nice and small and you can throw them in your luggage and go off to other countries and do neat stuff with them. So
Minis are awesome.
Yeah, the guy who heads up Pixel Core was talking about, not Rene Ritchie, the other guy, but who heads up Pixel Core uses them a lot because they go off and do live events and do streaming events. That's what their business is. And they'll just bring tons of minis in their luggage so they can do all their streams that way. So. Yep.
Minis are amazing.
Melissa bought an iPhone 6, so I think we've covered part of that.
Yep, we did. We did. That's probably about it. I still haven't played with it too much. I love having a phone, cell phone camera again, but that's because I broke the last one.
Yeah, well.
What else? I mean, it's all just creature comforts. I've got more memory. I've got, the nice, beautiful big screen and more space on the screen and. Yeah, I haven't had a whole lot of time to really dig in and explore, but...
So Apple Health and all those fun things.
Yeah, it's mostly just creature comforts for me, and a working camera. The camera is super nice.
Yeah, well, you take pictures, you kind of need a working camera on your phone.
Yeah, and you know what? I have not had a working camera on my phone for almost a year now.
Wow.
And I feel so broken as a human being. Just because of that.
You don't bring your DSLR with you everywhere?
No, because it weighs 80,000 pounds.
That's why I'm so hankering for a Sony NEX 7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the smaller format. The smaller format Sony's are pretty.
Oh no, this is a full format.
Oh, I know, but it's a smaller.
Yeah, it has no case. It has no mirror in it, so it's all.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, unfortunately, I need stuff that uses my old Minolta, beautiful old Minolta lenses, so I'm stuck with the Alpha line. Yeah.
Only other tech thing for those who care, which is me.
Well, I care about Fitbits.
Well, I'm it's bad radio because I'm holding this up, but I have a Force still. I wear it daily.
Mm-hmm. Is that the one that tells you the time, too? Like a watch should?
Like a watch should. Wait, let's see if I get the button. See time.
Oh, my God. I'm so envious.
5,190 steps?
So it's been a bad day.
yeah, I've been so bad on my steps because, you know, I sprained my ankle, so I feel justified.
Yeah. The problem I'm finding with the Force is I don't have the skin issues that got recalled. The little rubber coating is separating from the bottom of the display so I can get a good view of the circuit board.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So I'm kind of worried about wearing this while exercising.
get a little tiny electric shocks. Keep exercising!
I killed my last Fitbit by letting it go into the jeans in the wash, so that's the... anyway, so Fitbit, The Verge has found, via another site, but they actually found, like, in-store material showing up that the next Fitbit will be the Charge, and this is the replacement for the Force.
Okay.
So it looks similar to the Force. The screen's a little more rounded, and okay. I think it's a titch taller because it looks like it fits the date in there now, too, in really tiny type.
Okay.
And, of course, it's a watch and does everything the Force currently does and possibly can also hook into your phone for some notifications, like caller ID. And there will be an HR version, and that means heart rate. So the ongoing constant testing of your heart rate besides counting your steps and everything else. None of this has been confirmed yet, just people have seen the marketing material, but Fitbit has not officially announced any of this yet. So.
That is pretty awesome. The heart rate thing is pretty nice for people who have medical conditions who need to use that sort of thing.
Yep.
Well, you said HR edition. I was thinking,
human resources.
Yeah, so they know you're getting up out of your desk. Oh, he's active. He's active. Hold on, where's he at?
You can be tracked at your office.
That's between that. We know it's 10 steps to the bathroom, but you took 20. Yeah, so that's going to be coming out. Probably I'm guessing they were spending a better part of the year with their engineers working on that to replace the Force after the big recall at the beginning of the year and get ready for the Christmas season. Again, there's one person I was critical because Fitbit has outright said we're not going to support Apple Health yet, which is the app on the iOS side of things that tries to do a unified, all your data can go there for health. So if you use MyFitnessPal or Strava or RunKeeper or a variety of others, they can all just throw data over to there and aggregates. And I think Fitbit more or less is waiting for that to mature because right now it's just sitting there as an app not doing much. And B has been kind of busy trying to get over their little issue at the beginning of the year and with the new product. So we'll see how that goes. I'll continue on unless people have anything else to stop me.
Go for it.
Phil Plate, bad astronomer.
Yay!
So, everybody saw the blood moon, right?
Oh, yeah.
Nice lunar eclipse.
I was sleeping.
Almost everybody saw the blood moon.
I got to see it as I was driving into work, so.
Yeah, well, one other thing saw it. Messenger.
Cool.
Yep, NASA Messenger.
Cool.
Messenger is the probe orbiting Mercury right now, finding all sorts of neat stuff, including naming a crater after Lovecraft. And they realized, oh wait, we could actually get a shot of this. And so they had it turn 180 essentially and point back towards Earth. Earth is all of maybe 4 or 5 pixels large. It enhanced the brightness on the moon, so it's maybe 1 pixel large. And you can actually see it dim as the lunar eclipse happens.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it's
so great.
They took like a few minutes.
It's awesome.
Where's the link? Where's the link?
Oh, it's on our show notes.
It's in the show notes.
Sleep.com. Oh, that is...
So, yeah, this is basically the first time we have a picture of a lunar eclipse from another planet.
That's amazing.
So, science!
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 Oh, that's glorious.
Science! Cool.
Astronomers are cool.
Yeah.
So, now, switching gears hard without a clutch, put on your tinfoil hats.
I'm out of tinfoil.
Ah, well.
Will aluminum work?
Just over 22 months ago, USAF, United States Air Force, launched something that looks like a shuttle, about 30 feet long. It's a vehicle, and it's a reusable reentry vehicle, so that's why it looks like a little miniature space shuttle. It's been in orbit for 22 months. They finally brought it back. Nobody knows what it's been doing in orbit. Nobody knows what the experiments have been. Huh. It's been a classified mission, and it's one of the longer times that we've thrown anything up there and brought it back in this sort of format. And, because space shuttle will stay up for more than a few weeks.
Huh.
That's been flying around. Nobody's really sure. Basic idea is this is called the X-37B Orbiter. And basic ideas behind why it's been up there this long is either they were testing components for longevity. The other theory is they're testing components for doing spying and observation cameras and other in different ranges of light. But because this thing isn't just a regular satellite, you can maneuver it a bit. They may have been trying different angles, slight tweaks to the orbit, and getting as much data back as possible. It's all solar powered, so it throws out one little boom solar mast while it's up there, so everything powers for a while. But it's been a top secret mission, so the conspiracy theorists have been going hog wild with it. Mm-hmm. Probably it's bringing back alien tech for all we know.
I thought it was putting it back.
No.
Putting it back up there so they can so the aliens can come back and pick up their stuff.
Oh, okay.
Because we're done borrowing it.
Well, they helped us fake the moon landing.
Well, yeah.
They're tech able to do all the special effects.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. It's been placing stargates in long... No, wait. So, yeah, that's kind of the... For those who are on the conspiracy side, I've been following that. That's finally landed and successfully landed, and it's fun seeing pictures. I mean, they have pictures of this thing with people standing next to it. It's like this little tiny toy space shuttle. It's kind of cute. But it's like, we don't know. And that's all I got for general geek news. I do notice we have four S's at the bottom of our notes. Does that mean I get special screening from the TSA?
Yes.
No. Okay. For those who don't know, if your boarding pass has four S's on it, the TSA is going to have a long talk with you before you get on that plane.
That's not cool.
Well, that's how they take you.
So are we on to peaks now?
I guess we're on to peaks. We've got nothing in gaming. Nothing's happening in the world of gaming.
Gamergate.
Sure.
I'm just going to shake my head.
Yeah.
Shake my head.
If you don't know what we're talking about, start with Skullzy, work your way from there.
Yeah, Skullzy is a good starting point. But yep. Anyway,
yep.
Shall we proceed with peaks?
Sure.
Melissa. All right, I'll start. For those of you who are listening to this before Thursday of this week, which is October 16th, you can join me at PowerPoint Karaoke at Nerd Thursday at the Minneapolis Institute of Arts. So, yes, PowerPoint Karaoke is going to be in an actual bona fide art museum on Thursday night.
My, your hipster cred just went up.
I know, right? I'm so fucking hipster. I need a fez and a bow tie.
If you need, like, suspenders, you go, I'm a hipster.
And I need Converse sneakers or something like that. And PBR. And an ironic mustache.
We can get you the ironic mustache. Those are cheap nowadays, since it's costume season.
I've never heard anyone say Converse sneakers before. Converses? They're Chuck Taylors.
Oh.
Chuck Taylors. Or Chucks.
I've heard Chucks.
Well, the high tops are the Chuck Taylors. If you get the normal low tops ones, those are Converses.
Converse.
Screw those. Those are fake.
No, I know.
Oh, no.
You're actually like the numbers one star or whatever.
The high tops. You need the high tops.
The thing is, though, I've seen Converse high tops. They don't have the Chuck Taylor logo on them. They're just called Converse one stars. But they don't have Chuck Taylor.
Nike bought Converse, and then so a lot of stuff changed. So
this is what happens when you have hipsters, are you?
I'm not a hipster. I just
I didn't realize that you guys could out hipster me.
I've got a pair of Chucks.
You wear them with your kilt, right?
Yes, I wear them with my kilt.
They're awesome. A terrible shoe. They are a terrible shoe.
So Michael,
you're such a hipster. You have a kilt. And conversation.
So Michael appreciate this.
Have you worn them together yet?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Please, okay. Please tell me you also have a monocle.
No.
I know you can
work on that.
Yeah. Hmm. No, the most hipster human being I've ever seen was walking down the street in Uptown, and he was wearing this fully coordinated tan and red outfit that included a red scarf and jodhpurs. That was amazing. Oh, wow. I have never seen jodhpurs on a hipster before or since, but that is the most hipster thing I've seen in my life.
Hipster town in Finland, yes.
Jodhpurs.
No, the worst thing I've done is wore the residence t-shirt with the big eyeball with the kilt.
So anyway, come to PowerPoint Karaoke on Thursday.
Woot.
Fess. But doesn't Paul have one?
Well, I was doing random order, letting you talk more. I've talked the whole show.
Oh, yeah, that's not a problem. So this one I just kind of picked up. Wizard of Oz Kickstarter with new art by Evan Dom. Evan Dom is someone I've interviewed before on the Webcomic Beacon podcast, and he has a really cool art style. And so basically what he's done, he's gotten the original book written by L. Frank Baum in 1900, I should say. And he has 24 full-page color illustrations for each chapter, and then 76 other spot illustrations throughout the book. And I'm just gonna plug this one because it's already met its Kickstarter goal. It's got like another 20 days left to go, and you know, this guy has some really awesome art, and so that's my plug. That's my peek.
Neat. Yeah, my peek is kind of an odd one because it's more for what the guy is taking pictures of. It's a YouTube video by Trey Radcliffe. He does them on occasion on doing photography. He's an outdoor photographer. Blog is Stuck in Customs. But he's at the Beijing Planning Museum. And what the Beijing Planning Museum is, you walk in by looks at it, has a glass, kind of a glass floor for part of it, and this roped off area so you don't walk past it, and it is a model of Beijing, but all lit up to show where the traffic patterns are and everything. It's really cool looking. And he's trying to get like cityscape photos of it for whatever project he's on, but it's just kind of a neat, I think it would be a neat place to visit. So just the Beijing Planning Museum.
Especially if you're in a Godzilla suit.
And they don't let you walk on it. For good reason once you watch. And if you're a camera geek, you'll like Trey Radcliffe in general because all he blogs about, and he's all into HDR and expensive cameras and all that. So I love stuff for his equipment.
I approve.
I also like the fact that his assistant drops one of his lenses when the video starts. Because this is a guy who's then casually talking about his Leica lens and what he has it set at on his Sony NEX-7, whatever, $2,000 camera. So I'm like, Leica lens? I don't have that budget. So, that's it.
All right.
My notes just went away. Hold on. Outro.
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 Outro. Outro.
It sounds like a sequel to Extro.
Extro.
I remember Extro. That's Extro. It's not a good movie.
I'm not surprised. you can find us on the web at thegeeklife.tv. You can email us at thegeeklifetv@gmail.com. Voicemail. 1-2-5-6-7-6-5-1-5. Facebook, we're The Geek Life. Twitter, we're at The Geek Life TV. And Google Plus, we're The Geek Life Podcast.
Woo!
Thanks for listening to us and or watching us. I didn't even look on Twitter to see if anybody's following. Nope, nobody.
Nobody.
It's a sad day. So, we've had with us today Melissa.
Yay!
Fess.
Outro.
Mike.
Later. Oh, and Fess, check my Facebook page.
I don't go on Facebook.
And Paul.
Okay. All right.
And Paul.
And Paul.
And Fess, check my Facebook page. That's me. Thanks for watching and listening.